Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class learning at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Welcome to those who are joining us in person, and welcome to those who are joining us over Zoom. So it's been a very, very, very difficult week for Klal Yisrael. Very, very difficult week. I had mentioned it a few times in my shiurim this week because Meron was dominating the news. Many people did not even see that there was a terror attack on Sunday. I spoke about it previously in many of my shiurim. This morning, the Hesda Yeshiva student injured in the terror attack passes away. Terrorist is captured. Yehuda Guetta, G-U-E-T-T-A. Yehuda Guetta, Shem Yikom Damo, 19 years old. A student of Yeshivat Hesder Itamar, who was shot in the head on Sunday in the Sherman terror attack, succumbed to his wounds on Wednesday evening. He was shot in the head by the terrorist. He was 19. He is survived by his parents and six siblings who reside in Kiryat Moshe, Jerusalem. He was murdered on the way to yeshiva. Another victim of the attack, Binaya Peretz, 19, also of Beit Sha'an, is still in very serious condition and underwent complex surgery Wednesday night. His father has asked the public to daven for him. His name for refuah, I mean the shir b'yeschus for nisim, nifla'os, yeshuos, and besoros tovos, the richos yamim and shanim for Binaya Yisrael ben Aviva. May he have a refuah shalema besoch sha'ar chole Yisrael. There's a few minute video clip of the levaya of Yehuda. On Thursday morning, he was buried on Har HaMenuchos, and I was just had time to watch a couple of seconds. And as the video begins, you see the niftar wrapped in the talus with his family, and all you hear on the video is sobbing. So the Zecher Nishmas HaKadosh, Yehuda Guetta, 19, and as a Zchus Refuah Shalema for Binaya Yisrael ben Aviva, who is in very serious condition as a result of the terror attack this past Sunday in the Shomron. So, Lag BaOmer is a day of celebration. And the reason it's a day of celebration is twofold. The students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying on this day. And it's also the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was Niftar on this day, so why do we celebrate? Because before he was Niftar, he transmitted the secrets of Torah, the Kabbalistic aspects, the Zohar, to his Talmidim. And therefore, what we are actually celebrating is the transmission and the strength and the durability and the eternality of Torah. And to celebrate this wonderful day on the transmission of Torah, every year tens of thousands of Jews ascend to Meron. Many bring their children for their chalakah, their first haircut. They attend the bonfire lighting ceremonies of different Hasidic rabbis. And it is a day of great celebration. The Pasuk tells us in Sefer Devarim, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chof Aleph, V'haya kim timtze'ena oso ra'os rabos v'tzaros. It will be when the nation finds these terrible tragedies, va'ansa hashira hazos v'fanav la'eid, and this shira, this song, will stand before us and will bear testimony to us. Ki lo tishkach mi pizaro. And these are the words that are emblazoned by the entrance to the Tzion of the holy Tanna Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Ki lo tishkach mi pizaro. That Torah will never be forgotten from the mouths of our progeny. And this year, of course, a day of great celebration became a day of great horror and terrible pain that is beyond description. Some of you may have seen this already. Rabbi Feiner sent out an email last week, Friday, Erev Shabbos, to his kehila, and my brother forwarded it to me. Rabbi Eitan Feiner of the White Shul sent out the following. He quoted a story from Nachlas Avos that I had never seen and never heard before, and it is quite impactful. Before I relate the story that Rabbi Feiner told over, let us remember that when Rabbi Akiva lost 24,000 Talmidim during the time period of Sfiras HaOmer, we are still in the days today of Sfiras HaOmer. Shavuos is coming next Sunday evening. So when Rabbi Akiva lost his 24,000 Talmidim, Kula Mesu, Pesach v'ad Atzeres, during this time period, he went to the south and he acquired and began to teach five new students. One of those new students that he began all over again on, what began all over again with, was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So there is a connection, a deeper connection. It's not just that Lag BaOmer is the day when the students stop dying, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai died, but Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is one of the five new students of the Tana, Rabbi Akiva. So this is the story from Nachlas Avos that Rabbi Feiner related to his Kehila last Friday. If you heard it already, bear with me. You're going to hear it again this morning. There was a couple married for many years, suffering the agony of childlessness, yearning desperately for a child to cradle in their arms. One day, the husband informed the wife that he was going to divorce her, and he was going to marry another woman with whom he could bear children. But his wife was not willing to accept such a fate. Instead, she prayed fervently. She shed hot tears to be blessed with a child, together with her devout husband. On Rosh Hashanah night that year, the husband had a dream. He found himself in an orchard, surrounded by trees of all sizes, and none of the trees in the orchard had any fruit. All the trees were barren, and he himself was leaning on a small tree, and his tree also did not have any fruit. He understood that he was in a garden, and all the trees represented lack of children. No fruit. All the trees without fruit represented no children, no fruit, no peiros, pru, urvu, umilu es arts v'kivshu, and no children. All of a sudden, a malach entered the orchard carrying a bucket of water. And soon the malach went from tree to tree and began watering the trees. And as the malach watered the trees blossomed with fruit. And the man understood it was a foreshadowing. This was Rosh Hashanah night. Any tree that was watered would bear fruit that year. The malach was Hashem's messenger, providing children from the upcoming year. Oh, how he wished that the malach would come to his tree and water his tree too, so that it would blossom with fruit. Lo and behold, the angel came to the foot of his little sapling, but then he put down the bucket of water. Reaching into his robes, he took out a small flask. He opened the flask, and he poured the contents of the flask onto this man's tree. Immediately, the tree sprouted and blossomed, and beautiful fruit emerged. When the man awoke, he ran to tell his wife about the dream, and they both understood it hinted to good tidings. A child would be born that year. On Motzei Rosh Hashanah, he went to his Rebbe, and he told his Rebbe about the dream, and the Rebbe said, yes, your interpretation is correct. You will merit to bear a child this year. But he said, Rebbe, why didn't the angel water my tree with the bucket of water that he watered all the other trees? Why did he put that down and take out a small flask, which he poured onto my tree to make it blossom? The pious Rebbe explained, the jug, the flask that the angel used for your tree was not filled with water. It was filled with the tears of your beloved wife, the tears that she shed to merit having a child. And in the zchus of those precious tears, your tree was watered. And soon you will be blessed with a child. That year, a child named Shimon was born. His father was Yochai. The Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva. I am very careful when I tell over Divrei Torah and stories and Maisim. I'm very makbid to quote my sources. This is not Chalila Mother Goose and Grimm. Rabbi Feiner Shlita sent this out, and he said it is quoted from the Nachlas Avos, a story that I never heard before. All of those tears bore fruit. The child was Shimon. The father was Bar Yochai. The Rebbe, who said, yes, you will have a child this year, was the great Tana, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Feiner said this powerful story shared by the Nachlas Avos reminds us of the power of our tears. I think, I am certain, that bucketfuls, jugfuls, flaskfuls of tears have been shed the world over by Knesset Yisrael this week. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos Lamed Beis Amed Beis. Va'amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Miyom Shecharav Beis Hamikdash, from the time that the temple was destroyed, Nin'alu Sha'arei Tefila. The gates of prayer are locked. It's a difficult Gemara, yes, but there is some sort of mechitzat ha-barzel. There is a partition between us and the Ribono Shel Olam from the time of Churban. There is a mechitza between us. And as long as we're in Galus, and as long as Yerushalayim sits in ruin, that mechitzat ha-barzel will remain there. And the Gemara says, Miyam shacharu beis hamikdash nin alu sha'arei tefillah. The gates of prayer are locked to us. Shana'amar, like the Pasuk says in Megillas Eicha, gam ki ezak va'ashaveya satam tefilati. Even when I ezak, when I call out, va'ashaveya, despite my hysterical outcry, satam tefilati, my prayers have been blocked. They are not ascending to the Kisei HaKavod. So how then shall we beseech the Ribono Shel Olam? Va'af al pi, and even though, says the Gemara, shasha'arei tefilah nin alu, even though it is true that to some degree the gates of prayer are locked before us, my grandfather writes, I often quote from my grandfather's memoirs, Yitzchak ben Moshe, alav hashalom, and he writes in his memoirs, it's called In Seven Camps in 3 Years, it was written in Yiddish, and my mother had it professionally translated for us. And he writes that after a hard day of slave labor, we gathered in the barracks so Ni'ilah could be davened with a minyan. That was their Yom Kippur. And that seven camps, it's called, in 3 years, he lost his wife, his first daughter, his family. And when they came back from a day of Avodas Perach, Vayimaru es chayehim ba'avodah kasha b'chomer uvilaveinim, what was on their mind? Let's gather together in the barracks so Ne'ilah can be davened with a minyan. And my grandfather wrote, but to us, the heavens were closed. Yet all of us together vigorously pleaded for help. This is the condition of the Ribono Shel Olam, Sakosa Ba'anan, May Avorlach Tefillah. Ribono Shel Olam is hidden behind the cloud and the prayer cannot pass through. And this is what the Gemara here describes. Gam ki azak va'ashaveya satam tfilati. This is the proof in Echa that the Gemara says proves that the gates of prayer are locked to us. However, there's one key with which you can get in. Va'af al pi shasha'arei tefila nin alu. Even though the gates of prayer are locked, the partition cannot be accessed, the cloud cannot be pierced. Sha'arei dim'a lo nin alu. The gates of tears are not locked. Shana Amar, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perek Lamitas, Shim'a Tfilati Hashem. God, please hear my prayer. Visha'avati ha'azina. Give ear to my sha'ava, my hysterical outcry. And then what does David HaMelech say? Al dimati, to my tears. Al techerash, don't be deaf. Someone who is deaf cannot hear anything. So we say to God, do not be deaf to my tears. And the fact that God is not deaf to our tears, says the Gemara, proves that to tears we always have a way to get in. Tzion b'mar tivke. Tzion so bitterly weeps. The prophet says in the book of Eicha. So Thursday night last week, we there until Thursday morning, we spoke about Simcha, remember? The mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Tov was in last week's parasha. We spoke all about Simcha. Who could have imagined? And we learned together about the Inyan of Simcha, what that evening would have brought. A day full of Simcha and a celebration of Torah turned to a day of tragic, unspeakable, heart-wrenching losses. 45 Niftarim, hundreds and thousands of people directly affected. Jews all over the world are crying. And the Gemara says that those gates of tears are never closed, even if the gate of tefillah is locked. Similar to the celebration of Chanukah Samishkan and Parsha Shmini, it was a day of great celebration, a day that fire descended from heaven onto the Mizbeach. Lag BaOmer is celebrated through the fire of Torah by the Chanukah Samishkan, the fire of the Shekhinah Kaviyachol descended onto the Mizbeach. Vayironu, vayiplal peneim, the people were rejoicing, they fell upon their face, they gave shavach. It was a tremendous day of celebration, and suddenly amidst that day of great celebration, that day became a day of terrible tragedy. And when we witness such tragedy, there truly is no other reaction besides for that of Aaron HaKohen, because words do not suffice to describe the depth of the pain. It's important to note that Shorashim in Lashon HaTorah are very relevant, and it's something I speak about all the time. Vayidom, Vav Yod Dalad Mem, is not only that Aaron became silent, but Dalad Mem, of course, is not only the Shorash for silence, like King David says in Tehillim, Ulechad Dumia Tehillah, to you silence is praise. But Dalad Mem is also the root word, of course, for blood. Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. Ayidom Aaron, as Aaron stood over the blood of his children, Aaron became silent. And yet Moshe tells Aaron, V'achechem kol beis Yisrael yivku at hasreifa asher saraf Hashem. All of Israel cries together along with you. You may not leave the Mishkan, you may not stop your celebration, you may not mar the Chanukah's HaMishkan, V'achechem kol beis Yisrael. Your brothers, the whole house of Israel, once again yivku, will cry for the burning that God has burned. Both, two of my children, both told me the same Maisa a couple weeks apart. They both learned it separately in school. My daughter told it to me in the beginning of this week. I said, Shmuel just told that to me a couple weeks ago. There was a blood libel or some sort of debate brought against the Jews in Europe in the 1930s. And they had to debate the church. And the charge against the Jews was that the Chazal say the Jews are called Adam, B'nei Yisrael Nekru Adam, and the Umos HaOlam are not called Adam. So Jews are supremacists, and we think other people are human beings, and that was the charge that was brought against us. So they went to Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin Zatzal, the founder of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, the founder of the Daf Yomi, which is a point of historical interest. He was nifter very young. He was 45, of a tooth infection, and he didn't live to see the Shoah, which I guess is a blessing. And he died without children. Talking about Peiros, but every time someone opens a Gemara and learns a Daf Yomi, how many spiritual Peiros does Rav Meir Shapiro Lublin have? Millions upon millions. So they went to Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin and they said, how should we answer the charge that B'nai Yisrael are called Adam and the Umos HaOlam are not Adam? So Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin said, this is what it means. Adam is singular, one person. We are a nation made up of millions of individuals, but we're all one. We're all one person. If you're one person, if your foot hurts, your whole self doesn't feel well. If you have a headache, you feel like you can't function. If your stomach hurts, you're incapacitated because your whole body's connected. There's a song, right? The elbow bone is connected to the knee bone, is connected to the hip bone, the thigh bone, we're all connected. So if one part of the body doesn't feel well, the rest of the body also doesn't feel well. Knesset Yisrael is called Adam because we are all connected to each other. We act as one unit, one force, one being, one entity. The Umos HaOlam do not. It doesn't mean we think that other people are not human beings, but our degree of commitment to each other is like the degree of your own commitment to your foot. You're pretty committed to your foot. I mean, you want it to be healthy. You want it to be well. You want to take care of it. And to your heart, you're pretty committed. You try and eat healthy, live healthy, be healthy, see the doctor if necessary. Knesset Yisrael are called Adam. We are all one. We're all connected. Someone sent me a video clip yesterday. I still haven't had time to watch the whole thing of 6 minutes. I haven't had 6 minutes to watch it yet. But Miriam Peretz went to be Menachem Ava. It was a video clip with one family. I don't know if she went to more families or not. But someone sent me a video clip of Miriam Peretz being Menachem Ava, one of the families. Their father had been nifter. It looked like a 15-year-old boy, a 13-year-old boy. She was holding the hands of the girl and two young children. She's talking to these five children, very young. The little boy looked 4 or 6, very young children. She went to be Menachem Avodam, and with her ever-present smile, she was telling them, it's okay to cry. But it's also okay to smile and be happy. Your Abba would have wanted this. I didn't have time to watch the whole thing. In the summer of 2014, Mivtza Tzok Eitan was launched after the capture and subsequent murder of the three boys. And during that time, Miriam Peretz visited with over 40 families, 40 bereaved families in the state of Israel. In addition to the three boys, over 70 soldiers were killed in the battle. It's coming up to the summer, it's coming up to the Yahrzeit of Eyal, Gilad, and Naftali. And I haven't told the story in a very long time. Some of you may remember from when I used to tell it, but it is relevant to our topic today. And Miriam says that when she goes to visit the bereaved families, she is always asked, if anybody does not know by now, which I don't think is possible, that Miriam Peretz lost two children. Should just make sure to put that out there. Her son, Uriel, at the age of 22, fell in 1998 in the north in battle with Hezbollah. And her son, Eli Raz, fell in 2010 in the Gaza Strip in battle with Hamas. And when she goes to comfort the bereaved families, Rachmana Lassan, we mentioned Yehuda Guetta this morning, another Niftar, Hashem Yinkom Damo, who fell because he was a Jew from Am Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, 19 years old, shot in the head. And when Miriam goes to visit the bereaved family, she is asked, how do you go on? From where do you find the strength? In between the death of her first son and her second, she says that her husband, Eliezer, died at the age of 56 from, quote, a broken heart. And she is asked, how do you go on? And she always answers with the same story. After her son, Eli Raz, was killed, it was Erev Pesach, Erev Shabbat HaGadol. During that week, she overheard her grandson, Or Chadash Uriel. Or Chadash Uriel was Eli Raz's eldest son, named for his fallen uncle, Uriel. Eli Raz's brother was Uriel. He named his eldest son, Or Chadash, Al-Tzion Ta'ir, a new light shall shine on Zion, Uriel. And she heard Or Chadash say, Safta will come to our house for Shabbat. Safta will cook meatballs. Meatballs, said Miriam. He wants me to cook meatballs. By the way, before I read this in the book, I heard her speak in this room. Was anyone else here? There was a very small, you were there, Patty? She was standing right here. And she told this story. And when she spoke, I took notes. Some of what she said was in the book. I typed it up when I got home. Some of it's not in the book. So me and Patty heard her tell the story live before we read it. Meatballs, he wants me to cook meatballs? How can I do this? Who cares about meatballs? This was my son Eli Raz's favorite food. I would prepare the pot in 20 minutes. And when Eli Raz would come back home from the army with his friends, I would serve each soldier a plate with rice and meatballs. They would finish it before I turned around. So what should I do? Is someone going to stop it? We're going to wait. Oh, okay. Okay, Baruch Hashem, that was brief. Thank you, Hashem. I would serve each soldier a plate with rice and meatballs, and he would finish it before he turned around. The Or Chadash wants meatballs. But Miriam asked her friend to buy the meat, but she had to put it away. She said she could not even look at the meat. But then, Erev Shabbat, she woke up, and she thought, my grandson knows I will come for Shabbat, and he expects meatballs. So she got up, she defrosted the meat, and she prepared the meatballs. Racheli Frankel, for those who remember, said at the Levaya of her son, rest in peace, my dear son. We will learn to sing again without you. So Miriam got up and prepared. Each one was so difficult to roll, what used to take her 20 minutes now took her, she told the story, 2 hours. And she said her pot was full of tears. And while she was rolling the meatballs, what was her prayer? Her prayer, she says, was only for one thing. I asked God only for one thing. Not for strength for my newly widowed daughter-in-law, not for strength for tomorrow, not hope for my grandchildren, only for wanting. Please, God, help me only to make the meatballs. The ability to persevere, to continue, to go on after staggering losses. And when she arrived in Eli for Shabbat, this part's in the book, Or Chadash saw her and he ran over and the first thing he said was, Safta, did you bring the meatballs? Why do we count Sfiras HaOmer? Because in last week's parasha, Parshas Emor, we are told in Perach of Gimel, Psukim Tes Vav, Chut Tes Zayin, Usfartem Locha Mimachar Asa Shabbos, Miyom Havi Acham Esa Omer HaTenufa, Sheva Shabbosus Tamimos Tiena, Admi Machoras Hashabbos Hashviz Tisbru Chamishim Yom. And I think it's important to point that out because sometimes Rabbi Akiva is so associated with Sfiras HaOmer that we forget that the reason we're counting Sfiras is not because of Rabbi Akiva's students. The reason we're counting Sfiras HaOmer is because our mitzvah in the Torah, Beferish, to count Sfiras HaOmer. Today it's a Dirabanan. First of all, we're in Chutzart, so it's certainly a Dirabanan. There's no Korban Omer. We're not bringing the Omer Tanufa, the barley of waving, the day after Pesach, because the base of Mitzvah sits in ruins. There's no Kohen officiating in the temple. And this is why we can't swear to Omer, and that's why we say, Harachaman hu yechazir lanu avodat beit hamikdash limkomar bimher b'yameinu amin selah. We're asking to be back in the base of Mikdash. However, it just so happens to be that during the time period of Sfiras HaOmer, which we are about 1 week away from the end at this point, a little bit more, the students of Rabbi Akiva did die. And the Gemara tells us, and here I'm going to quote the Gemara, Maseches Yevamos, Samech Beis, Amad Beis. Rabbi Akiva tells us, Lamad Torah b'yalduso, yilmo Torah b'zkunaso. If you learn Torah in your youth, you should learn Torah in your old age. Hayulo tamidim b'yalduso, if you had students in your youth, yulo tamidim b'zkunaso, you should have students in your old age. And then the Gemara illustrates that Rabbi Akiva did not just preach, he practiced what he preached. He lived by his teachings. Amru, shneim asra alef zugim tamidim hayulo the Rabbi Akiva. They said that Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students. Megevas and Antiparas. They stretched from Gevas to Antiparas. Rabbi Akiva began at the age of 40. He knew nothing. His father Yosef was a convert. He did not even know the Aleph Beis. He became one of the greatest Torah leaders our nation has ever had. The Kulan Mesu Biperek Echad. They all died during one time period. Mipnei Shelo Nahagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh. Because they did not give honor to one another. Whatever that means, and there are different pshatim, we're not going to be discussing it today. V'hayah ha'olam shamim. And the world was desolate. Rabbi Akiva is facing destruction. How could it be at 24, you know, and I say this all the time. The stories, the narratives in Chumash and Mamre Chazal, we're too used to them. We're just too used to them. So we don't appreciate the impact of what we're saying. We are reeling from the 45 Niftarim in Meirot, reeling. And now this morning, the boy who was shot in the head on Sunday by Arab terrorists, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, has been Nifter. We are reeling. He lost 24,000 Talmidim. It's impossible to actually comprehend what that means. And you think of how affected we are, all of us, this week. And it was a staggering, staggering loss. Achabar Rabbi Akiva Eitzer Abbasenu Shebidaram. Rabbi Akiva went to the south, Vishana Allahem, and he began all over to teach Torah. Rabbi Meir, V'Rabbi Yehuda, V'Rabbi Yossi, V'Rabbi Shimon, the great Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. V'Heim Heim Emidu Torah Oso Sha'a. And those five held up the world with their Torah at that time. Tana Kula Meisu Mipesach V'Aratzeres. And here is why their deaths are so closely associated with Sfiras HaOmer, because they all died during this time period. What did they die from? Askra. Someone messaged me this morning to say that she read through Mishpacha last night, And it came to me this morning, and I looked at the cover, and if you look through a little bit, I said, I can't read this on Shabbos, because I'm just going to be crying the whole Shabbos. It doesn't make any sense to us, to our mortal minds. Rabbi Tzinkanievsky, Alaha HaShalom, used to say, Darchei Hashem kulam tovim, velo kulam mivunim. The ways of Hashem are all good, but the ways of God are not understood. Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik taught, a Jew must accustom himself to the idea that not all questions have answers. This is a general rule in Talmudic pedagogy. The scholar who feels an imperative to resolve all difficulties, in fact, is not a scholar at all. The sons of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, says the Rav, would recount that their father was never pained by a question, nor gladdened by an answer. When he was confronted with a difficult question, Rabbi Akiva Eiger would say, the question requires more thought. May God enlighten me. When a difficult question, continues the Rav, is posed in the Gemara, sometimes the response is teku. It's an acronym for Tishbi, Eliyahu Tishbi, Yavair Kushios Uvayos. When Eliyahu Hanavi Zachur Latov comes to redeem us and announce the coming of the Messiah, he will answer all of your questions. Teiku means that right now the answer is unknown. Two families, each lost two sons, 9 and 14. Rachmana Litzlan, if you have any children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews who are those ages, appreciate what a child that is. 13-year-old from Harnof. His mother Friday morning was posting, her son is missing, she can't find her son. Until Rachmana Litzlan, they found him. Yeshiva Talmidim, singers, a grandfather who is a father of 4 and a grandfather of 25. There are so many mourning, and there are so many questions. Rav Soloveitchik says the answer to a difficult question is often teku. Tishbi yivair kushios uvayos. Oh, thank God when Mashiach comes, I'll have my answer. I want my answer now. I'm going to wait till 6,000 years of history finish to get my answer. If God gave us the oral law, says the Rav, shouldn't it encompass all answers? How can the Gemara be so inconclusive? My father asked this question, he says, his father of Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal. And my father answered that the Gemara's teiku must reflect the unresolved questions within every individual. Donny Morris's mother at his levaya spoke about how when he was 7 years old, he would wake up with alacrity and make sure he and his father were in shul in time. She said to her child, if I could give you only one more hug. At the end of the levay, she asked him for mechila. The Gemara's teiku, says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, reflects the unresolved questions within each individual. Quote, if a Jew never has to say teiku, if all of life's questions are answered, he is nothing more than a fool. It's audacious to say all my questions are answered. It's not possible in this world. We see a tiny fraction of a frame of history. Only the Ein Sof, the Hayah Hove Ve'Yia, knows all the answers. I see one snippet in time, and I expect answers. It doesn't make any sense. But that's tiku. And that's part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's part of our Mesorah. If a Jew never says tiku, if he thinks that all of life's questions are answered, he is nothing more than a fool. And yet, at the same time, says the Rav, the ability to say tiku should not change one's guiding principles or stymie further study. While we have unresolved questions, it must not change our guiding principles. We must not be deterred from the path of Torah. Ki lo tishkach mi pizaro. Yes, even in sorrows, even in terror attacks, even in terrible accidents, even in tears, even in mourning, even when we don't understand and all we could say is teku. Maybe, but you must say the Navi, then I'll understand. And yet the same mourner stands up and praises the name of God over the kever of the deceased. I saw one of the Niftarim, the oldest son, is 4 years old, and he was able to say Kaddish. If a Jew never has to say Teiku, if all of his life's questions are answered, he is nothing more than a fool. And yet, the ability to say teku should not change one's guiding principles, nor stymie further study. A Jew must take note of the difficulty, and we must move on. Unanswerable, unexplained tragedies have accompanied the Jew in his long history. Just like a Jew recites a blessing upon eating and satisfying his hunger, we spoke about that here a few weeks ago. Remember, v'achalta v'savatu v'erachta s'Hashem elkecha? A Jew regularly recites a blessing upon eating and satisfying his hunger. At that moment, he is well, he is healthy, he's in possession of his faculties. It's easy to bless God. In contrast, upon the tragic death of a loved one, he tears his clothing at the moment of greatest grief. And then, too, a Jew recites a blessing. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, last week we read Perek Dalet, Rabbi Yanai Omer, Rabbi Yanai says, Ein biyadenu, it is not in our hands to grasp, lo mishalvas harishaim, v'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim. And something's in your hand. This paper's in my hand. So I could grasp it. I could feel it. I could identify it. It has edges. Let's not get a paper cut. It has edges. I could feel how many papers I have because it's in my hand. When your drink is in your hand, you know what you're holding. You can sense it. You can feel it. You're aware. It has meaning. So when the Mishnah says, Ein biyadenu, it means it's so far beyond our grasp. Lo mishalves harishaim. Why do the rishaim have tranquility? But the tzaddikim have yisurim. A 19-year-old boy in Yeshivat Hasder in Itamar is going to study Torah in our land, not in Nazi Germany, not in Poland, not in France, where they're full of anti-Semites, in our land! And he's waiting at a bus stop at 5:44 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon, and he's shot in the head. Is that in your hand to grasp? Do you understand? I don't understand. The ability to say teku must not change one's guiding principles. Ribono shel Olam, I have many unanswered questions. But ana Hashem ki ani avadecha. The Jew, says the Rav, must take note of the difficulty, and then he must move on. Miriam said, and this, to my knowledge, was not in her book. She spoke about it when she was here. What is the portion of Tanakh that speaks to her the most? Let us note that Rabbi Akiva is the very embodiment of the ability to take note of the difficulty and move on. We are drowning in pain. We cannot breathe this week from 45 niftarim. So when I say 24,000, we just say 24,000, 12,000 passed. We can't even comprehend what that means from Pesach to Atzeres. What does the Gemara record as his reaction? I'm sure he cried. It was, if you do the math, it's over 700 levayos a day. He went to the south and he said, I'm going to start all over again. Because the ability to say teku must not change our guiding principles. We will pick up the siddur, we will daven, we will take food, we'll make a bracha, we'll keep kosher, we'll welcome in Shabbos, we'll smile at smachot, we'll welcome Shavuos, we'll learn on Torah on Shavuos night. Because we might have questions and they don't have answers, and you know what, even Chazal and the Gemara don't have all the answers. How is that possible, says the Rav? It's a possible because it's dafka there. To remind us that to be a Jew, to go through the long destiny in history, is that we will not always have the answers. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? He went to the south and he said, I'm not giving up. And who was one of the five? The great Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What is the portion of Tanakh that speaks to Miriam the most? It's from Sefer Shmuel Bet, Perek Yud Bet, Sukkim Tet Zayin through Chaf Gimel. Unfortunately, I'm not well versed in Nach, so don't ask me questions beyond what I'm going to quote. Maybe one day, I don't even know. Bli Neder. Zman Katzar V'Hamlacha Meruba. Well, Pauli Matzeilim. That's what they're going to tell me when I get up there. Vayivakesh David Et HaElokim. Ba'ad HaNa'ar. David HaMelech had a son who was very, very sick. And he sought out God. He prayed on behalf of his sick child. Vayatzam David Tzom. He was so distressed that he fasted. Fasting is one of the modes of repentance and teshuvah. Uva vilan v'shachav artzah. He was sick with worry. He came, he lay down, he slept on the ground. He's so sick over the sick child. I was talking to one of my kids last night about a certain inyan. And I said to my child, there's a saying, a parent is only as happy as their unhappiest child. David HaMelech's child was sick. And he's fasting. And he's praying. And he's laying on the ground. And the elders of the home, the stewards in the house, come to him and they try and pick him up from his mourning. He refused to get up. He wouldn't sit down and have bread with them at the meal. He's crying, he's fasting, he's on the floor, he's mourning. It was on the seventh day. The child died. The Yeru of David the Hagido Kimeta Yala. The servants of David are very afraid to tell him that the child died, Ki Amru, because they said, Hine Biyota Yalad Chai. When the child was still alive, Di Barnu Elav, we spoke to him. Velo Shama Bikulenu, he didn't listen to us. The Ech no Mar Elav Meta Yalad. How can we come and tell him the child has died? He'll do something terrible. If that's how he was behaving when the child was still alive, what will he do when we tell him that the child died? Vayar David ki avadav mitlachashim. And David sees that his servants are whispering. He understands. Vayiven David ki meta yalad. And David understood that his child had died. Vayomer David al avadav hameit hayalad. And he said to his servants, did the child die? Vayamru meit. And they said, yes, he died. Vayakam David mehaaretz. David got up from the ground. Vayirchatz, he washed himself. Vayasech, he anointed. Vayachleif simlotav, he changed his clothing. Vayavo Beit Hashem Vayishtachu, and he comes to the house of God and he prostrates. Vayavo al Beito, and he comes to his house. Vayishal, and they ask him, do you want to eat? Vayasimulo lechem vayochal, they put him a meal, and he eats a meal. What are you doing? Vayamru avadave lav, and his servants taka don't understand what's going on here, and they say to him, Mahadavra hazeh, asher asita, what are you doing? Ba'avur hayalad chai, when the child was alive, Samta, you fasted, Vatefk, you cried, the Kasher Meta Yalad. And when the child died, Kamta, Vatochal Lechem, now you got up, now you eat bread. Vayomer, and he said, Ba'od Hayalad Chai, Samti Vavka. Yes, when my child was alive, said David. So I fasted in repentance and I cried bitter tears of prayer, Ki Amarti, Mi Odeya, because I said, who knows, there's still a chance. V'chanani Hashem v'chai hayalad. Maybe God will be merciful to me and my child will live. V'ata meit, and I am. But now, he has died. Lama zeh anitzam. For what purpose shall I fast? Ha'ucho lahashivo or? Can I bring the child back to me? Ani holeich elav. V'hu lo yashuv elai. My destiny is that I will go to meet my child, but he will not return to me. Says Miriam, Shatichya, that this is the portion of Tanakh that speaks to her, Miriam Peretz, the most. Vayakam David Meha'aretz. The ability to get up. At Shabbat, Rabbi Akiva Eitzer, Rabbi Hosein Shabidarom. Rabbi Akiva went to the south. David HaMelech got up from the ground because he said, Ha'ucha l'hashivot, I can't change the past. I can't change the reality. I cannot bring my children back to me, said Miriam. I go to my sons, Uriel and Eliraz. I go to them in Har Herzl. I too get up, says Miriam. I continue to rise up every day after the deaths of my children. Vayakam David meha'aretz vayirchatz vayasach. I'm going to quote a Gemara we all know. It's just a little bit of a different interpretation as to what is the godless of the Gemara. What is Rabbi Akiva really telling us here? So the Gemara ends with Maseches Makos, Chaf Dalet, Amud Beis. One time it happened that Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva were going on the way. Shuv, first the Gemara tells a story. They saw the crowds in the Roman Plaza. I'm not going through that because of time. Shuv pam achas hayu olin liYerushalayim. One time they were going up to Yerushalayim. The same Rabbi Akiva, who lost 24,000 Talmidim, who Kaba Savua cut him off, who felt Torah was so difficult he was ready to give up, whose student was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who left us some of the greatest legacies of Torah teachings ever. He was walking with his colleagues. Kevan Shehigiu Lahar Hatzofim Karu Bigdehim. When you see Chorban, when you see mourning, you tear Kriya. One of the images that I saw one of the first days after the Meiron tragedy, it was on Times of Israel. It was sort of taken a little bit from above. There was a crowd of what looked to be Hasidim, and one of them was holding a box cutter in the middle of the crowd, and another one was holding a little boy. He looked maybe 3 or 4 years old, and he stood out because he was wearing a sky blue shirt and shorts and a little blue yarmulke. And one was holding him, and the one with the box cutter was taking his shirt and tearing Kriya for him. Kevan shehigiu laharatzofim karu bigdehim. They came to Mount Scopus, and they could see from Haratzofim onto Har Habayis, and they tore Kriya. Kevan shehigiu lahar habayis, when they came to habayis, ra'ushu al shayatza mibeit kodshei hakodashim. They saw a fox prowling outside of the Holy of Holies. Heitchilu hein bochim. We began the shir with tears, and we end the shir with tears. Heitchilu hein bochim. They began to cry. Rabbi Akiva, of course, mitzachik. I know you all know the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Amru lo mipnei ata mitzachik. Why are you laughing? Amar lahem mipnei ma atem bochim. He said, why are you crying? Amru lo, his colleague said to him, makam shekasu bo v'hazar ha-karev yumas, the place where it says a non-kohen is not allowed to enter, he will die, v'achshuv shu'alem hilchubo. Pasuk from Eicha, har tzion sheshamim shu'alem hilchubo, lo nivka. We shouldn't cry when we see destruction. Amar lahem l'kachani mitzachik. So he said, you know, Taka, that's why I'm laughing. The pasuk says, "Va'adili edim ne'emanim es Uria ha'koin ve'zecharya ben yeverchayahu." God says, "I will summon two prophets, Uria and Zecharya." V'chi ma'inyan Uria eitzah Zecharya. What does Uria have to do with Zecharya? It's out of chronological time period. Uria b'mikdash rishon v'zecharya b'mikdash sheni. They lived hundreds of years apart. What do they have to do with each other? Ela tala ha'kasuv nevuaso shel Zecharya. The prophecy of Zechariah, who prophesied during the Second Temple, the Nevuasa shel Uriah was incumbent or dependent upon the prophecy of Uriah Bayis Rishon. But Uriah Ksiv, by Uriah Bayis Rishon, he told the people, Achein biglalchem tzion sada secharesh, because of your sins, Zion will be plowed over like a field. But by Zechariah it says, O Yeshuz kenuz kenos brechovos ha'ir, it's a quote from Zechariah, Ko Amar Hashem Tzavakos, Od Yeshuz, Kenus, Kenus, Rechovas Yerushalayim, V'ish Mishanto V'yado, Meirov Yamim, Rechovas Ha'ir Yamalu, Yeladim V'yelados, Mesachakim, Rechovasaha. Achelonis Kaimed, who was social, Uriah, said Rabbi Akiva, when I didn't see the prophecy of Uriah of destruction come true, Hayisi Misyare, you know, I was a little afraid, Shalotis Kayem, who was social, Zechariah. When I didn't see the prophecy of destruction, I wasn't sure if I would see the prophecy of redemption. But achshav, now that I see Shenis Kaiman of Wasoshal Uriah, I see that Taka, Tzion, was plowed like a field. Biyadua, it is certain. Shenivu Wasoshal Zechariah Miskayemes, the prophecy of Zechariah will be upheld. Balashan Hazar Amrulo, Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu. What was the godless of Rabbi Akiva? What was the Nechama? What's the message for us? Rabbi Akiva witnessed a lot of destruction in his life, personally with his Talmidim, nationally the time period of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But it's not just that he believed in the redemption. We all believe in redemption. We all say Ani Mamim Be'emunah Shalema. He was able to look at destruction and see a different picture. He was able to see in the destruction the picture of rebuilding. It's not that he said, Ani mami b'emunah shleima b'vias ha-mashiach. He was able to laugh. He was able to look at Churban and say, in this Churban, I see binyan. You know what it's like to have the Aleph Alfei of Dalos? Not me, because I never hired a decorator. But some people, when you're doing your house and you want it to be beautiful, you hire a decorator and they show you swaths of paint, swatches of paint. And you never knew there were so many whites and so many yellows and so many pinks and so many greens. And they want you to know how the whole room's going to look. Oh, that's perfect. What is that? Levi? Yeah, the Urim V'tumim. They show you a piece of paint that big and they say, how's it going to look in your room? And you say, I have no idea how it's going to look in my room. I can see the paint here. It looks very nice. I believe it's a nice color, but I don't know how it's going to look in my room. And the decorator, you hire her because she knows how that little square is going to look in your whole room, hopefully. Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, was able to look at Churban and see Binyan. Not that he believed it would look good, not that he believed it would get better. He was able to look at the plowed over field of Har HaMoriah where the foxes were prowling and he said, you know what I see? I see old men and old women sitting in the streets with his staff in his hand, well on in years. I see children, little boys and little girls, not tearing kriya for a father lost, not mourning and weeping. I see the redemption. You look and see Chorban. I look and see Binyan. And so you may cry, but I can laugh. The ability to say Teiku should not change when guiding principles, nor stymie further study. Vayakom David, Vayaharetz, Vayarchatz, Vayasech, Vayachaleif, Slimotav. Atshabar Rabbi Akiva Eitzel Rabbi Hoseinu Shibedaram. The koach of the Jew is that despite the mind-boggling, inexplicable, beyond words, pain, we have to strive to see the binyan in the Chorban, the building that will come, the comfort that will arise, the tears that will be turned to laughter, the very same tears that Eliyahu HaNavi perhaps will take the flask out of his robe and he'll say, this isn't water. This is all the tears from all the mothers, all the fathers that were shed over the millennia. That will cause the tree of Mashiach Tzidkenu to ripen and flourish. Et Samach David Avdecha, Mehera, Satzmiach. Halavai, we should be Zoche, to a week of Besuros Tovos, Refuos, Yeshuos, and Nechamos, for us and all of Kal Yisrael. Thank you very much, everybody. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.